Okay, we're starting Babar on page 241. But, if you remember, we left off with Arthur taking care of the three little ones in the pram. And, of course, Arthur is not very conscientious, and the pram takes off down the hill. A fast-thinking tortoise saved them from total disaster by putting itself in the path and blocking the wheels. But in the process, I think it was Alexander, went flying into the trees, but the squirrels helped him down. Then we come along to a situation where, again, little Alexander, who must take after Arthur, the precocious little fellow, finds Cornelius's hat, uses it for a boat, but as he's being swept downstream, a crocodile comes along. Fortunately, Babar is there. And Babar hooks him with the anchor of the boat, saves little Alexander. And then we move on to a recognition that in human land, they have Father Christmas. So the Arthur, Zephyr, and the little ones decide to write Father Christmas because they want presents too. And here we are starting up on 241. Each morning, the five friends eagerly await the postman. They rush out to meet him as soon as they see him coming. But alas, although the postman searches carefully, there is no answer from Father Christmas. One day, Babar happens to see them and says to himself, "Whatever can be the matter with those children? They look so dreadfully sad. Oh, see, their trunks are hanging low." So he calls them and says, "Come on, tell me what's the matter." Zephyr tells him the story of his letter. "And you haven't had an answer. Is that it?" asked Babar. "You must have forgotten to put a stamp on it." "Oh, no, we didn't," Arthur remembered to. "Well, then Father Christmas hasn't had time to answer yet. Cheer up and run along now and play. Possibly you've given me a very excellent idea." Babar paces thoughtfully up and down, lost in thought. "I wonder why I never thought of asking Father Christmas to come to Elephant Country. The best thing to do would be to start out at once and find him. If I asked him personally, he surely will not refuse to come." His mind is made up. Babar hurries to inform Celeste of his intentions. She helps him pack and get ready. She would like very much to go along, but Babar explains to her that she'll need to be home to rule the country during his absence, and also remarks that queer characters like Father Christmas are often shy and rarely allow themselves to be approached by more than one person at a time. Babar arrives in Europe after a very good journey. He has just stepped off the train. In order not to be recognized, he has left his crown at home. He drives to a little hotel, which is clean and quiet, and is given a room which pleases him. Next, he undresses and washes up a bit. One always feels so refreshed after a good cleaning up. "What can be making that funny little noise?" wonders Babar as he dries himself off. Without moving, he looks around, and all of a sudden he sees three young mice. The least timid of them says, "Good day, my stout sir. We are to have the pleasure of your company for long?" "Oh, no, I am just passing through, looking for Father Christmas," answers Babar. "You're looking for Father Christmas? Why, goodness, he's here in this very house. We know him well. We'll show you his room," chorus the three little mice. "How wonderful. That really is extraordinary luck. Just give me time to put on my dressing gown, and I will be with you," cries Babar. "But where on earth are those little mice leading me?" wonders Babar as he stops a moment on the stairs to catch his breath. "Father Christmas must live way at the top floor. No doubt he likes to have a very good view and plenty of open space around him." While Babar is making these observations, the three little mice reach the attic. "Whatever are they doing over there in the corner? They seem so excited." "Where are you?" calls Babar. "Up here in the attic," answer the little mice. "Come quickly. We have taken Father Christmas down from the top of the tree." When Babar joins them, the delighted little mice say, "There is Father Christmas. He lives here peacefully year-round, except on Christmas Day when they come and fetch him and hang him on the top of a new Christmas tree. After the holiday, he resumes his place in his corner, and we come and play with him again. But this isn't the one I am looking for. I want to find the real live Father Christmas, not the doll, says Babar sadly. Next morning, Babar hears a tapping at his window. He sees some sparrows outside on the sill. They speak to him and say, "We understand that you are searching for the real live Father Christmas. We know him well, and we are going to take you to him." And off they fly joyously. Pointing out the way to Babar, they lead him across a big bridge over the river where we're almost there, they call. We usually find him around here. He sleeps under the bridges. Well, well, that is strange, thinks Babar. There he is, they cry all together. He is over there next to the fisherman casting his line. Babar, still a bit astonished at this old fellow's odd appearance, greets him and says, "Excuse me, sir, but are you really the true Father Christmas, the one who brings toys to all the children?" "Alas, no," answers the man. "My name is Lazzaro Campiotti. I am an artist model, and my friends, the artists, have nicknamed me Father Christmas. Now everybody calls me by that name." Very much disappointed, Babar strolls along the riverbanks. Stopping at one of the bookstalls, Babar finds a book with pictures of Father Christmas. He quickly buys it and takes it back to his room to examine it carefully. Unfortunately, the text is written in a language which he does not understand. He goes down to explain his difficulty to the hotel manager, who helpfully gives him the address of a professor at the school where his son is studying. Mr. Guianes will surely be able to translate your book, he says. Without losing a moment, Babar is at the door of Professor Guianes and ringing the bell. He finds him at home, but after a glance at the book, the professor says that to his great regret, he is unable to read it either. He gives Babar the address of the famous Professor William Jones. An hour later, Babar is in this man's study. The professor carefully examines the book and shakes his head gloomily. Finally, he turns to Babar, who has been waiting patiently, and says, "Your book is very difficult to read. It is written in an old-style Gothic letters. There are facts in it about the life of Father Christmas, and they say he lives in Bohemia, not far from the little town of..." "But I do not find any more definite information at this point." Babar goes off and sits on a bench in the public park to think the matter over. The birds recognize him and come over to inquire whether he has found Father Christmas. "No, not yet," answers Babar. "I only know that he lives far away from here in a town of Prejimishnishwi. Truly, this is a difficult search." Just then, a little dog who is passing by says to Babar, "Pardon me, sir. I am very good at finding things which are lost because I have developed a highly developed sense of smell. If only I could have a sniff of that doll which Father Christmas gave little Virginia over there, I am sure I'd be able to find him. I would be very glad to go with you because I'm a little homeless dog." Upon hearing these words, Babar looks at the dog and says, "Agreed, I'll take you along with me." Then off he goes to buy a beautiful new doll for Virginia, which she gladly accepts in exchange for her other one. Babar lets the dog sniff the old doll and feeds him a piece of candy. Before starting out, Babar goes back to see the learned Professor Jones, who returns his book and gives him a few additional directions. Father Christmas apparently lives in a forest on a mountain about 12 miles from Prijimishnishwi. Babar arrives at the little town after a difficult journey. It is very cold, and a great deal of snow has fallen. Babar therefore equips himself accordingly. He buys some skis, hires a sleigh, and has himself driven to the foot of the mountain. Pretty soon he gets out, and accompanied by his faithful Duck, this is the name he has given dog, Duck, he starts to climb in the direction of the mysterious forest, skis on his feet and a heavy laden pack on his back. Duck is very much excited. He sniffs here, he sniffs there, he yaps. Now he stands still, his tail lifted, his nose twitching hard. He must have caught the scent of Father Christmas. Suddenly, Duck is off on the run. "I've got it, I've got it. We're on the right track," his loud barking echoes through the woods. But what is that stirring in the wild forest. It is a band of little mountain dwarfs who have hidden themselves behind the tree trunks. Duck would like to see them nearby, but they rush at him, pelting him fast and furiously with hard-packed snowballs, which land on his head, his eyes, and at his side. Half-choked, half-blinded, his tail between his legs, Duck decides to retreat. Quickly, he runs to rejoin his master and arrives breathless, feeling very foolish. When Babar sees him, he stops short and asks, "What has happened?" Duck then tells him of the adventure with the little bearded dwarfs. "Good, we must be getting nearer," replies Babar. "I am very eager to meet the dwarfs. Lead me to them." A few minutes later, it is Babar's turn to meet the dwarves. They try to frighten him too and rush bravely towards him and pelt him, but Babar calmly takes a deep breath and blows out hard in their direction. They all tumble down one on top of another. As soon as they can scramble back to their feet, off they run noiselessly and disappear. Babar roars with laughter, "Ha ha ha," and continues on his way, following Duck, who has now found the scent again. Little dwarfs have run to find Father Christmas, and they tell him, all jabbering at once, that an enormous animal with a long nose blew them so hard that he knocked them down and chased them away. Father Christmas listens attentively. The little dwarfs add that when they fled, this big monster was quite near, and that guided by an ugly little cur, he was heading straight for the secret cave of Father Christmas. They were right. Babar is nearing the cave, but a storm of extraordinary violence suddenly burst upon him. The wind blows so hard that the snowflakes prick at his eyes and skin. It's impossible to see. Babar struggles desperately, then realizing the danger of obstinately forging blindly ahead, he decides to dig himself a hole for shelter. He then rigs up a roof with the skis and poles and some snow blocks. The two companions are fairly well protected now. Whew. "It is cold and my trunk is beginning to freeze," thinks Babar. "Duck is cold and tired." All of a sudden, Babar feels the earth giving away beneath him, and he and Duck drop out of sight. Where have they fallen? Without realizing it, they have dropped right down through the chimney vent into the cave of Father Christmas. "Father Christmas," cries the alarmed Babar. "Duck, we have arrived at our destination." Whereupon he faints, worn out with fatigue, cold, and excitement. "Quick, little mountain dwarfs, forget your quarrel. We must undress him and get him warm," says Father Christmas. They all set to immediately. They undress him. They give him a good alcohol rub, working him over energetically with big brushes. The dwarf chemist gives him some brandy. Then finally, Babar drinks a fine bowl of hot soup with Father Christmas and thanks him from the bottom of his elephant heart. Wow, on page 264, there's a picture, I guess, of Father Christmas's house. And you can see where Babar fell in. While Father Christmas shows him around, Babar explains he has made this long journey to ask him to visit Elephant Country. Oh, here's a note. This tour includes the big room in which Father Christmas usually lives, the room into which Babar fell through the hole, which one can see in the upper right-hand corner on page 265, and the toy rooms, the doll room, the tin soldier room, the armory with toy guns, the room full of trains, the room with building blocks, the room with the stuffed animal where the stuffed animals are kept, the one with tennis rackets and balls, etc. All these neatly packed in boxes and bags. And then they visit the dwarfs' dormitories, the elevators worked by the pulleys, and the machine shop. So, Father Christmas shows him around. Babar explains that he has made the journey to ask him to visit Elephant Country. Won't he distribute toys to the elephant children just as he does to children of men? Father Christmas is touched by this request. He tells Babar that he will not be able to visit the Elephant Country Christmas night because he is very tired. He adds, "I had great difficulty last year in completing the usual delivery and distribution of toys to the children all over the world." "Oh, Father Christmas, I understand perfectly," says Babar. "But if this is the case, you must take care of yourself." Why not live on the earth's surface for a while and leave your underground home? Come back with me now to our country and bask in the sun. You will be rested and cured for Christmas. Charmed by this suggestion, Father Christmas instructs the little dwarf to keep an eye on everything for him. Then off he goes in his flying machine, accompanied by Babar and Duck. Here they are in the elephant country. Father Christmas admires the countryside and is quickly surrounded by elephants who rush over to bid him welcome. Palm, Flora, Alexander hurry over too. In order to get the best view, Arthur has climbed on the roof of a house and Zephyr is up in a tree. When the excitement quiets down, Queen Celeste introduces her three children, Arthur, and Zephyr, to Father Christmas. "Oh, you are the ones who wrote me," he said. "I am delighted to meet you. I promise you a Merry Christmas." Father Christmas often goes out riding on zebra back. Babar rides along on his bicycle. And Father Christmas takes a sun bath for 2 full hours every day, following Dr. Kapalusa's instructions. Sometimes Palm, Flora, and Alexander come to watch him as he lies in his hammock, and they are careful to make no noise so as not to disturb him. One day, Father Christmas says to Babar, "My dear friend, thank you very much for all that you have done for me. Christmas is nearly here, and I must leave to distribute the awaited gifts to the children of men. But I am not forgetting the promise I made to the little elephants. Can you guess what I have in this bag? A real Santa Claus suit made to your measure. It is a magic suit which will enable you to fly through the air, and your bag will always be full of toys. You can take my place here on Christmas Eve. I promise you I'll return when my work is done, and I'll bring the children a fine Christmas tree." On the night before Christmas, Babar follows out these instructions. As soon as he puts on the suit and the beard, he notices that he instantly becomes lighter and is at the same time able to fly with ease. This is really extraordinary, and what a good way to distribute all the gifts to the children, thinks Babar. He hurries in order to get through with his task before dawn. What joy there will be in every house on Christmas morning when the little elephants awake. In the royal palace, Queen Celeste peeks through the door of the children's room. Palm is emptying his stocking. Flora is rocking her doll. Alexander is jumping up and down on his bed, exclaiming, "What a wonderful Christmas! What a wonderful Christmas!" As he had promised, Father Christmas comes back, bringing them a beautiful Christmas tree, and thanks to the family, to him, the family celebration is a great success. Arthur, Zephyr, Palm, Flora, and Alexander have never seen anything as beautiful as this fir tree, all shimmering with lights. The next day, Father Christmas flies away again in his airplane to rejoin his little subjects, the dwarfs, in his underground palace. On the banks of the big lake, Babar, Celeste, Arthur, Zephyr, and the three children sadly wave their handkerchiefs goodbye. Fortunately, Father Christmas has promised to come back to the elephant country every year. So we are on page 274. This is the end. We have finished with Babar as they wave goodbye to Father Christmas. Good night.